Jesus says, now the people who are really blessed are the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, when it comes to righteousness, the people who are really blessed are not the ones who think they have it. They're the ones who know they need it. Friends, this is very important because this is describing to us what it feels like to be a Christian.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us. And today we're beginning a message called Blessed Are Those Who Hunger and Thirst for Righteousness. And maybe you've gone through a season of life where you're saying, you know, I don't feel like my relationship with God is what I want it to be. I sometimes feel far from Him. I don't feel as holy or as righteous or as close to God as I want to be. If that's the case, Colin, sounds like this is a great day to be listening.
I want to feel holy.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. You know, a lot of people who are not Christians slate the Christian church because they say, well, you know, you're just holier than thou and you're setting yourself up as being morally superior and so forth. And so when a person becomes a Christian, it's easy for that person to have the idea, well, now having committed my life to Christ, I'm going to feel that I am holy. Mm-hmm. And actually what happens is that when a person is growing as a Christian, you become more and more aware of your own sinfulness, your own need. And that's why Jesus speaks about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's not saying, hey, I'm now the most righteous person. It's a growing awareness of how much I need to grow in righteousness. And I'm feeling that because the light of the Holy Spirit is shining into the great need of my own soul. So that's what it feels like to be a Christian. And I hope it'll be very encouraging for folks today to get a biblical handle on this.
Well, we're going to do that as we open up God's Word together. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, as we begin the message, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, the fourth beatitude is really a turning point in our series. The first three, as we've seen, have really been about our own need, about our desperate position. We started with this truth, blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means that I know that before God I do not have what it takes. Then we read, blessed are those who mourn. Why would I mourn? I mourn because seeing my own spiritual poverty, I now am compelled to see that my own sins are not few, but they are many. They have been costly to me, they have been costly to others, and they have been supremely costly to my Lord Jesus Christ. From that, we came to the next beatitude, blessed are the meek. What is that? I grow in meekness because I see that God has not treated me as my sins deserve, but He has shown me grace, He has shown me kindness, He has shown me favor. And as I have received this, so that begins to work in the heart of the receiver. So these first three Beatitudes then are all about seeing our own position. And the fourth Beatitude really moves us forward from there because it speaks to us about the desire that arises out of the work of the Holy Spirit in the first three. At the beginning of the series, I suggested that there is actually, using our orchard language, a roots, life, fruit pattern in the Beatitudes. Think of it this way. These first three Beatitudes deal with the roots of a growing and thriving spiritual life, being poor in spirit, mourning, becoming weak, meek, rather than being self-willed or defiant towards God. I've come to see I don't have the wisdom to lead my own life rightly, and so I submit to the hand of God in the light of that. That's what we saw meekness is. These are the roots of a godly life. And out of these roots, what comes? Well, a life that is animated by a desire for something, a desire for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's a desire that comes out of these roots to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, a desire for godliness. And the desire to be godly is the very life that springs from the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian believer. And then we'll see later in our series that out of this life that comes from the roots, there is wonderful, beautiful fruit that Jesus Christ forms. Mercy, forgiving other people, and purity of heart comes out of all this. And the wonderful, wonderful gift of being a peacemaker. And one more thing is added at the end. Know this, that if this root is in you and this life grows within you and this fruit is seen in you, you will be blessed by God, but you will also be persecuted by the world, says our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the pattern, that's the overview, and we've come now to the turning point. We've seen the roots that give rise to this life, and now we're going to look at the life itself. And what is it all about? It is a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, again, we're following our usual pattern in which today we're going to try and get on the inside of what Jesus Christ is calling us to here. And then next week, God willing, we will look at how we can pursue this life. So understanding what Jesus is calling us to in this fourth beatitude, our purpose today, I have four headings: a relentless pursuit, a holy passion, a strange paradox, and a glorious prospect. Let's start here. A relentless pursuit. Blessed are those who, Jesus says, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not those who have a vague interest, not those who consider righteousness from a distance. The words hunger and thirst speak of an intense desire that motivates action. A person who is really hungry will do almost anything to get food. And Jesus uses this word that suggests the strongest of motives. It has energy in it. It drives decisive action. It's powerful. And this intense desire, this hunger and thirst for God, this passion to pursue righteousness is a hallmark of a genuine Christian believer. Now, of course, you'll be familiar with this throughout the Bible. Listen to how David puts it in the Old Testament. He says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you." There's David. The Holy Spirit is at work within him. And the evidence of the life of the Spirit is this great thirst for God, this hunger for God. Psalm 63 in verse 1, the same thing. "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. What's so striking to me about what he says in Philippians in chapter 3 is that it's towards the end of his life. He's been in ministry for years. He's done just about everything that you could do in church planting. And towards the end of his life, when he's in prison, what's he saying? "I want to know Christ." Like he didn't know him already. "I want to know more of him." That's the passion. "I want to know more of the power of his resurrection and more even of the fellowship of his sufferings," writes this man, even while he is there in prison. So all through the Bible, there is this hallmark that when the Holy Spirit is present in a person's life, there's this hunger, there's this thirst, there's this passion that is energized to know more of God and to know more of his righteousness. Three observations about hunger. Very simply and obviously, hunger is a sign of need. When you're hungry, your body's telling you something. It's too long since your last meal. Hunger indicates an absence of food. It's the way in which the body indicates its need to you. And Jesus says, now the people who are really blessed, think about it, are the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, when it comes to righteousness, the people who are really blessed are not the ones who think they have it. They're the ones who know they need it. They hunger and thirst for it. Now, friends, this is very important because this is describing to us what it feels like to be a Christian. Some of us are newer Christians, and you think, you know, I really don't feel I'm a very holy person, and you wonder if that may mean that you're not actually a Christian. Let me tell you what it feels like to be a Christian. You do not feel that you have arrived when you're a real Christian. You find yourself longing for more of Christ. You say, "I wish I was further on." That's the mark of genuine spiritual life in you. That should be an encouragement to every real Christian. Because not everyone is like that. Some people are confident of their own righteousness. Jesus said that about some folks, some Pharisees. And you remember, Jesus did not pronounce them blessed if they were confident of their own righteousness. Why? Because the blessing does not belong to people who see themselves as little paragons of virtue. No, the blessing Jesus is saying belongs to those who know their own need, who are very aware of how far they have to go and very, very little of how far they have come. And there are other people who, at the other end of the spectrum, as it were, they are very content in their own sins. They don't really feel a need to change. And Jesus does not pronounce these people blessed either. No, the blessing does not belong to people who are content to remain as they are. The blessing is on those who have a strong desire, Jesus says, to gain more of righteousness. If this is you, then Jesus says you are blessed. Hunger is a sign of need. Hunger is a sign of life. Nobody teaches a newborn baby to be hungry. You don't have mentoring on how to become hungry for newborn children, right? It simply arises out of the fact that there is life. Where there is life, there will be hunger. Spurgeon says this, "To hunger after righteousness is the sign of spiritual life." Nobody who was spiritually dead ever did this. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you are spiritually alive. This is how you know you're a Christian, that you experience this hunger within you. And Spurgeon again, he says, "When the Spirit of God has changed our nature, that new nature hungers and thirsts after righteousness. The old nature never did, it never could, and it never would do so." So the flesh never hungers after righteousness. The flesh is always wanting to go and sin. If you have a hunger after righteousness, it is a sign that you are spiritually alive, and thank God for it. Not only is a hunger a sign of need, not only is it an evidence of life, it's a sign of health, isn't it? When someone is unwell and they're beginning to recover and they start eating a little more, oh, well, the doctor comes round and he's pleased that this is a good sign. Oh, you're getting your appetite back. That's a sign you're getting better. A healthy appetite is a sign of health. And losing an appetite may in some cases mean that something is seriously wrong within the body. Now apply this spiritually, because this is the analogy that the Lord Jesus is using here. If you have a deep longing within you to grow in Jesus Christ, that is a good statement about your spiritual health. The sign of spiritual health, understand this, is never to feel that you have arrived, but always to feel that you have a great longing for more and a sense that you have a long way still to go. This is what it's like to be a Christian. Let this encourage you. The mark of a Christian is that he never feels he has arrived at a righteous life. What does he do? He hungers. He thirsts after righteousness.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called "Blessed Are Those Who Hunger and Thirst for Righteousness," originally part of a series called Momentum, taking a look at how we make progress in the Christian life. But this message was one of the most listened to of the last year. We went back and we looked at the top 10 most requested and downloaded messages, and we've bundled them together in a series we're calling Listener Favorites. And this 10-part CD series is our thank you gift to you as you financially support Open the Bible this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. Let's get back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
Here's the second thing. It's a relentless pursuit. That was the first. Second, it's a holy passion. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness." For righteousness. Now, all of us folks are involved in a great search for satisfaction. The big question is where we think we'll find it. What do you think will satisfy you? Because whatever you think will satisfy you, that will become the consuming passion of your life. If you think that a certain achievement will satisfy you, then the consuming passion of your life will be that achievement. Because we all go after satisfaction. If you think that leisure or retirement is going to be the thing that will satisfy you, then all your affections will be set on that. How long will it be until we get that? What do you think will give you satisfaction? Is it to be loved? Is it to be appreciated? Is it to get revenge? Whatever it is that you think will satisfy you most deeply, that will become the consuming passion of your life. And Jesus tells us right here, there is one desire. and only one that will be completely satisfied. The only one that is. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for this thing, righteousness. Why? Because they are the ones, and they alone ultimately, who are really going to be satisfied. Now here's my question. Is this then what Christians today are looking for? Is it what we who profess faith in Jesus Christ, is this what we want? Is it what we're going after? Is this what we really want from God, this thing, righteousness, or are we actually looking for something else? You go into a Christian bookshop, you'll see what Christians are looking for. It's a happy family life, growing churches, fulfillment in ministry. Try and find 10 books on the pursuit of righteousness. Is this what Christians want today? Or have we sold out to the idea that God is there to give us something else which we think is actually a higher priority? What do we know as those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ about this hunger for righteousness? We want to be blessed. Oh yes, we want to be blessed. To prosper, to have health, to have peace, to have security. We want to be blessed. But think about this. Jesus did not say, we are righteous if we hunger and thirst to be blessed. He said, we are blessed if we hunger and thirst to be righteous. You see how easy it is to get the whole thing completely the wrong way round, even as Christian people? He did not say that we are righteous if we hunger and thirst to be blessed. He said we are blessed if we hunger and thirst to be righteous, which raises the question that I've been pondering and I ask you to ponder, is this what I'm hungering and thirsting after? Is this what I really want from God? Or has the agenda of my life sold out to something else that I think ultimately is going to be more satisfying for me? Let me turn the question another way and put it this way. Why did Jesus Christ die? Now, if someone asks you that question, why did Jesus Christ endure everything that he went through on the cross? There are obviously many answers that you could give that are faithful to the Bible. You could say that Jesus Christ died that we might be forgiven. You could say that Jesus Christ died so that we might have eternal life. But I want to suggest to you that if you look at the great statements of the purpose of the death of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, you will find that God places something else at the center. Let me give you three examples, three of the greatest statements about the atonement in all of the New Testament. They all contain clear statements of what Christ did that are immediately backed up by why he did it. Number one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. Do you see the pattern here? What did Christ do? Christ died for all. Great statement. Why did he do that? Answer? That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Why did he do it? So that there would be a transformed life that is no longer about the self, but gives evidence of the pursuit of righteousness. That's why he did what he did on the cross. Think of another one. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. What did Jesus do? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Isn't that a marvelous thing? He bore your sins. But why did he do it? Here's why. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's the same thing, the pursuit of a holy life. Number three, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. What did God do for us in Jesus Christ? For our sake, here's what he did. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. Christ himself became sin for us. And why did he do that? Why this extraordinary atonement? Answer, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So you put these together, and I could list many more, but just these three for the sake of time. We have to come to this conclusion, though we can state the purpose of the passion of Jesus Christ in many ways. The New Testament again and again and again focuses our minds and our hearts on this. The purpose of the passion of Jesus Christ is that we should have a passion for righteousness. It's that important. Christ died to redeem a people who no longer live for themselves, but are marked by a passion for holiness, which is why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Blessed, he said, are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because they are the ones who are going to be satisfied. So I have to ask this question, what then do I know about this mighty longing after God? This passion to live in a way that really pleases him, to be done with sin. Is that longing more intense than it was a year ago? Is it growing or is it receding? Have I become casual and compromised in my Christian life? Because in the light of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling me to this. He died for it.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Blessed Are Those Who Hunger and Thirst for Righteousness. And we've been taking a look at what that means on today's broadcast. We'll continue to look at this next time. I hope you make it a point to tune in. You can always, of course, listen to this broadcast on the radio. But if you ever miss the program, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app, which is free, and you'll find it at your app store. Well, John Aiello is the executive director here at Open the Bible. He's been here for 12 years, and he joins me now in the studio.
Hey, thanks, Steve. You know, people often ask if our team has a specific Bible verse that motivates us, and I always answer John chapter 9, verse 4, where Jesus said to us, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." You know, the work of him who sent Jesus is the same work that we've been blessed with at Open the Bible, to share the gospel far and wide. Every show we broadcast, every book we publish, every podcast we create is an invitation for people everywhere to explore God's word, to meet Jesus, and to hear the gospel loud and clear. And it makes a difference. Here's a note we recently received from a listener. When I first listened to Open the Bible, several close family members had just died. I was lost and full of grief. I wanted to sleep and never wake up, but I heard Pastor Colin speak about a God who is close to the brokenhearted. I stayed in my car just to listen to his comforting words. I met Jesus thanks to this program, and I thank you for sharing God's word with the lost people like myself. May it comfort and save many, many more. Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. For us to reach more people like this listener, we depend entirely on generous financial assistance from folks who, like us, believe strongly in the transformational power of an open Bible. Part of my job is to ask for that assistance. If you already support Open the Bible, thank you so much. Your continued help is truly appreciated. If you've never donated to our ministry, if you've been learning, growing, benefiting from Pastor Colin's teaching, but have never taken that step of giving, I'm officially asking for your help. And this is the perfect month to get off the sidelines. We recently had a generous donor agree to match dollar for dollar every first-time gift that we received during the month of July. This is huge for us. Please make this the month that you decide to join us in ministry. As our way of saying thanks to all donors this month, we will send you the most listened to, most downloaded messages from Pastor Colin this year in a CD set that we call Listener Favorites 2023. All donors this month will receive this CD set. For first-time donors only, in addition to your gift, match dollar for dollar, we will also send you a gift subscription to our daily devotional booklet called Open the Bible Daily for the remainder of 2023. You will love this devotional. To give today, please visit openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365.
Well, thanks, John. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What do you think will give satisfaction? Jesus tells us that there's only one thing that will satisfy completely. Find out what it is next time on Open the Bible.